الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. So this is the second lesson as it relates to the explanation of the Qawaid Muthla, the excellent, precise, exemplary principles as it relates to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is authored by Al-Alama Muhammad ibn Salih ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. And it's a book which the ulama have explained, many of the ulama and the mashaykh have explained, and its station as it relates to those fundamental books that needs to be studied is clear. Last week we dealt with the introduction. Sahih akhwan? Naam. Excellent. So what was the introduction? I have a few questions rather I'll ask you as it relates to the introduction. Why did Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen write these principles? Why did Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen write these principles? Did we do this last week? We did. So why did he write them? One reason. Give me the first reason. There's two reasons. Give me the first reason. Okay, and he specifically mentioned some things in his Muqaddimah. The importance of the topic. Because of the importance of the topic and its station in Islam. And its station in Islam, so that's why the Shaykh wrote these principles, because of the station and importance, ahmiyyah, of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam. Second reason. Naam, because many people have what? Spoken about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some have spoke about it correctly according to the book and the sunnah, and others have spoke about it what? Huh? Incorrectly. Some others have spoken about it what? Incorrectly. Without taking it back to the book of Allah and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for those who incorrectly studied or spoke about the names and attributes of Allah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen categorized them into how many categories? Two. And what were these two categories? The first one is the jahil, the ignorant one, and the second one is what? The mutaassib. As for the ignorant one, he's solving his problem is not too difficult. He is what? Educated. He is educated, and if he's sincere, then he will follow the correct methodology as it relates to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the mutaassib, his affair is easier or more difficult? is more difficult because he's a fanatic and he's clingy to either his sheikh. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that as for the people who have taqleed, these people who blind follow, majority of them, he says, are ignorant. Majority of them, he says, are ignorant. And he, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that there are many people in the past who were ignorant as it relates to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they repented. And they repented. But as for the mutaassib, it's what? Difficult. Because they're clinging and they're fanatics as it relates to their sheikhs or their madhab or their methodology that they're upon. Then the sheikh said, as it relates to calling Allah's names, al-husna, making supplication or making dua as it relates to Allah's names. He said that there were two types of dua. Those two types of supplication, what were they? Not bad. Okay. Dua al-ish? Dua al-mas'ala. Okay, dua al-mas'ala, which is like the supplication. What does that mean, dua al-mas'ala? A request. It means what? A request. Example? Okay. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the names that are connected or that are suitable for your request. So for example, you want Allah to forgive you. What do you say? Oh, yeah, ya ghafoor, ighfir. Oh, the most merciful, or most forgiving, or forgiven, forgive me. So this is from the usloob and the mannerisms of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is dua al-mas'ala. The second category. All of it is to get close to Allah. But there was a term that Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen used, rahmatullah alayhi, and this is muhim. It's something that was called, MashaAllah. Dua al-ibadah. And that is the supplication related to your actions. So for example, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which it necessitates from his names and attributes. So for example, you know that he's a tawwab. You know that he's the one who accepts the tawbah, the repentance. So what do you do? What do you do? You repent to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is dua al-ibadah. That is acting according to his names and attributes. And you know that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hadi. You know that he is al-hadi. The guider. So therefore, what do? You follow his guidance. You follow the Quran and you follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because you have iman in his name. And that is dua al-ibadah from your actions. And all of it is generally ibadah, but the ulama have made it specific in order for us to understand. In order for us to understand the importance of these two categories. And in order for us to memorize it also. Okay. Now we're going to deal with, before that actually, how many principles do we have in this book as it relates to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Seven names. And the attributes? Principles of his sifat, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many principles did he write? Seven. And what's the other chapters? What are the other chapters? Clarifying the misconceptions. And before that? The adilla, the proofs as it relates to Allah's names and his attributes. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with all of these in their due time, inshallah. So bismillah, amma ba'd. So what we're going to do now is deal with al-qa'idatul ula. Al-qa'idatul ula, asma'ullahi ta'ala kulluha husna. Al-qa'idatul ula, asma'ullahi ta'ala kulluha husna, ay balighatu fil husn, ghayatuhu. قال الله تعالى ولله الأسماء الحسنى وذلك لأنها متضمنة لصفات كاملة لا نقص فيها بوجه من الوجوه لا احتمالا ولا تقديرا. مثال ذلك الحي اسم من أسماء الله تعالى متضمن للحياة الكاملة التي لم تسبق بعدم تسبق بالعدم ولا يلحقها الزوال. الحياة المستلزمة لكمال الصفات من العلم والقدرة والسمع والبصر وغيرها. ومثال آخر العليم. نعم. So we deal with the first مقطع where the Shaykh رحمة الله عليه he mentions the first principle, and that is the main principle in this or main sentence in this principle, and that is that Allah's names, all of them are beautiful. That Allah's name, all of them are perfect as can be. As perfect as can be indefinitely. And when he says غايته, he doesn't mean that there is an end. There isn't an end to the perfection of Allah's names. It's indefinite. قال الله تعالى, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for Allah are the beautiful and perfect names. And that is because of that which He contains from the perfect attributes that there is that with no deficiency. From that which He contains from perfect attributes with no deficiency at all. With no deficiency in any way, form, or fashion. And then Allah, then the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, he said, for example, Al-Hayy, the ever-living, ismu min asma'illahi ta'ala. And that is the name from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that contains perfect and complete life, that isn't preceded with non-existence. It isn't preceded with non-existence, and it would not end. And it would not end. And then he said, rahmatullahi alayhi, that this sifatul haya necessitates the perfect sifat, the complete and perfect attribute of knowledge, al-ilm, and qudra, and ability, as sam' and hearing, wal-basar, was seeing, and other than them, from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are those attributes that the name Al-Hayy, the ever-living, necessitates. Shaykh Ubaid, Hafidhullahu Ta'ala, he mentions five main points as it relates to this maqta'. He mentions five main points, and we're going to the whole principle in itself, actually, he mentions five points. And we are going to add some points from Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, in his own explanation of this principle. The first of those is bayan anna rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala lahul asma'al husna. The first point, that is the clarification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala names are beautiful and perfect. That He has beautiful and perfect names. And that's from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah are the beautiful names and perfect names. And then he mentions another point, which is the sub point of this, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful names. He mentions an issue, and I believe it's an issue that we touched upon last week, and that is from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'ina isman, mi'atan illa wahida, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, wa huwa witrun yuhibbul witr. The one that we mentioned last week, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in this hadith narrated by Abi Huraira in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari, that for Allah is 99 names, and Allah is 99 names. Whoever memorizes them, ahsaha, whoever acts upon them, Whoever implements them will enter paradise. Man ahsaha. Whoever, number one, ahsaha. Whoever has knowledge of them, whoever preserves them, and as Ibn Hajar and other Imam mentioned, whoever acts upon them. And that is what we mentioned from dua al, which dua? Dua al ibadah. And also dua al mas'ala, by acting upon those names, by calling to Allah and asking Allah through these names, and also acting, your ibadah and your actions are in accordance to these names. The truthfulness of your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would profess in your limbs. And that is your truthfulness of your iman in his names and attributes. So man ahsaha. So this is a great reward that is mentioned in this hadith. But that which is mentioned also is that some narrations have been narrated or attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely the hadith which is mentioned in Sahih Ibn Hibban, which is mentioned in Sahih Ibn Hibban, where it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that for Allah is 99 names, whoever memorizes them, acts upon them, will enter paradise. And then in the hadith, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned each name one by one. فَذَكَرَهُ سَرْدَ سَرْدَ. So then that narration says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the names one by one. This hadith, the ulama have spoken about the authenticity of this hadith. The first issue is that they say it's something called mudraj. Something called what? Mudraj. Mim dal rajim. Mudraj. And that is one of the discrepancies that can be found in certain narrations. And what is mudraj, you may ask? Mudraj generally is moving something towards and linking it with something else. Moving something and then linking it with something else, then it becomes one. So mudraj, according to the ulama of hadith, is, for example, when they mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his sheikh tells him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and then his sheikh says, and this and this and this. And then that narrator forgets that is, or doesn't mention that his sheikh's words is at the end of the hadith, he just made it what? Made it what? One hadith. So then it's understood that it's from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called mudraj. This is called what? Mudraj. It's just been pushed together and made into one, like it's one narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was stated that this occurred through Al-Walid ibn Muslim, Al-Walid ibn Muslim, and Abdul Malik ibn Muhammad al-San'ani. Al-Walid ibn Muslim and Abdul Malik ibn Muhammad al-San'ani, in the Isnad, it said that they were the ones who fell into this. In that those who narrated the hadith just mentioned the names one by one from their own ijtihad, from their own efforts themselves. So then what is understood after this is that Allah only has what? Allah only has what? 99 names, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted them. But that's not from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's from individuals in the Isnad that mentioned it on their own accord. But then some narrators, they made it like it's the statement of who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's not. Are we clear on mudraj? Yes? So should we make a practical example here? For example, Anwar says to me, how are you today? I'm fine, and I say I'm hungry. And then I narrate to Adam, and I say to him that Anwar said that he's hungry. Yes? So what I've done is I've connected my statements with Anwar's, and he's unaware that it's not Anwar's statement, but rather it's what? Mine. Because I didn't say, and then I said. I said, Anwar said this, and then I'm hungry. But I didn't say, Anwar said hello, and then I said, I'm hungry. I just said, Anwar said hello, I'm hungry. So therefore, it's understood that it's one statement, but rather it's not. And this is what mudraj is. So the hadith is weak in that regard. And also it has the narrator, secondly, Walid ibn Muslim, and he's a mudallis. Who is someone who is known that during the chains of narration, that sometimes he skips out a narrator, or he mentions him with a name that nobody knows, and he could be a weak narrator. Or maybe, for example, he has so much love for his sheikh, but his sheikh is a weak narrator. So he doesn't want people to speak about his sheikh, so he says Abu Fulan. He doesn't say Abdullah ibn Fulan. He says Abu Fulan. So then nobody knows who the person is. So that's called tadlis. Okay? Which is a type of deception. Which is a type of what? Deception. So when a narrator is known like this, he cannot say an. He cannot say an Fulan. Because if he says an, it doesn't mean he's saying he said it. Are you with me? But if he says qala hadathani, and the person didn't narrate from him and he's missed somebody out, is he telling the truth or is he lying now? But if he says upon, he's not directly saying he narrated from him. So when somebody is known like this, if he says upon, the ulama, they step back and they don't accept the narration until he says hadathana, I heard it with my own ears. Because he's known to take, for example, you have three narrators, and the one in the middle is a weak narrator, his sheikh. So he takes him out. And he goes, an. A, so you have narrator A, you have narrator B, and you have narrator C. Narrator B is a weak narrator. But he's somebody, maybe he is from his scholars. So what does he do? He takes him out. So it's A upon C. If he's known to do this, when he says upon, the ulama of hadith, it shows you the stringency that they have. They're very stringent and strict as it relates to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wouldn't accept that narration until they hear what? I? Hadathana. Because he's not a liar. He's not known to be a liar. So if he says hadathana, they know it's not a lie. In this narration, he says upon. In this narration, Walid ibn Muslim says what? Upon. So therefore, the ulama step back. And it's one of the weaknesses of this narration. And the third... Abdul Malik ibn Muhammad al-San'ani. The third issue on this isnad now. Al-Walid, he's not weak. Al-Walid ibn Muslim. He's a mudallis. It's called tadlis, which is a deception in the isnad. And Shu'bah, rahmatullahi alayhi, said... At-tadlisu akhu kadhib. He said that tadlis is the brother of lies. It's not quite a lie, but it's his brother. Okay, the third issue on this isnad, and remember, this is the statement of Adam last week, that Allah only has 99 names. And this hadith is what they use to show that Allah only has 99 names. And we mentioned that, first of all, what's the problem with the hadith that says that implies that Allah's names are only 99? What's wrong with this hadith? The first issue was what? It was what? Mudraj. What does that mean? They've mixed somebody else's statement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They've mixed somebody else's statement with the Prophet. The second issue, Al-Walid ibn Muslim. He's a mudallis. Okay? And he didn't say he heard. He said upon, which is very vague. Which is very what? Vague. Huh? It depends on which tadlis it is. There's a tadlis that's very, very, very bad. We won't go into that. But some of the ulama are very severe in that regard. For example, if Imam Ahmed said or Sufyan says an, do they accept it? If Sufyan says upon, do they accept it? Yes, because he's not known for that. Bukhari says upon, do they accept that? Because he's not known for it. And this shows the way that Allah has preserved the deen of al-Islam, and Allah has preserved the sunnah. Third issue that shows that Allah does not have only 99 names is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is Na'am. Where he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa laka sammaytahu or sammayta bihi nafsak or allamtahu ahadan min khalqik or anzaltahu fi kitabik or sta'thartu bihi fi ilmi al-ghayb indik. In this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet says in his dua, he says, I ask you with every name, number one, that you've named yourself. With every name, number two, that you've taught anyone from your creation. I ask you with every name, number three, that you have revealed in your book. And I ask you with every name, number four, the one that you've kept to yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. So there are four different areas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned that it regards the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is that which he's taught anyone. But the most important issue here is the one that he keeps with himself in the ghaib. What does that mean? Does that mean his name's only 99 now? If we found 1,000 names, does that mean he only has 1,000 names? Because there are names that are what? Huh? They're from ilm al-ghaib. And also, remember as Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned that which shows the importance, that which shows the loftiness, that which shows the high station of something or somebody is by the amount of names that they have. So Surah Al-Fatiha has what? One name or many names? Why does it have many names? What are the names of Surah Al-Fatiha? Ummul Quran. Another name. Al-Ruqya, mashallah. Another name. Huh? Sama Mathani. Many names. The oft repeated verses. Why? Because it shows the station of Surah Al-Fatiha as it relates to other surah. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited to 99 names. Allah's names, we don't know the amount of them, ya akhi. Because his station and the praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his hamd is indefinite. It's what? It's indefinite. When we say Alhamdulillah, naam. Ibn Qayyim. As it relates to Surah Al-Fatiha, he mentions it in, you find it in Bada'a Tafsir. Bada'a Tafsir, which goes back to Madarij As-Salikin. Madarij As-Salikin. Naam. That which is important, you know, it has many names. It has what? Many names. So, from what we have mentioned, it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, his names are beautiful, perfect. And number two, his names are unlimited. We don't know the amount they are because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ إِنَّكَ That which you have chosen to keep to yourself from your names, I ask you by those names that you have kept to yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the unseen, in the knowledge of the unseen. So therefore, it shows the weakness, number one, of that hadith that says, mentions 99 names. Number one is that the isnad has issues. Number two is that it has issues with, the matan has issues. So the isnad has issues because of Walid. The chain has issues because of Walid. The text has issues because it mixed, remember? It mixed two statements into one, mudraj. And the third issue that it contradicts other authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that which you mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Sheikh Al-Bani mentioned it in his silsala. Sheikh Al-Bani mentioned it in his silsala. Now, the second thing that Sheikh Ubaid mentions as it relates to this first principle, and that is Allah's names, kullaha al-husna, that all of Allah's names are beautiful, is the meaning of husn. The meaning of husn, yani beautiful, as we can best translate it. The meaning of al-husn, fi asma'illahi ta'ala. And the meaning of it is stated by the Sheikh, quoting Abdurrahman Sa'di. He quoted Abdurrahman ibn Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi when he mentioned the walahu al-asma'ul husna وله الأسماء الحسنى. And for him are the beautiful names. He said, number one, له الأسماء الكثيرة الكاملة الحسنى. That for him is many names. Again, showing the importance of the issue that we mentioned. And because he has many names, it signifies his beauty as well. For him is many names, perfect, complete many names. وَمِنْ حُسْنِهَا, and from it being beautiful, is أَنَّهَا كُلَّهَا أَسْمَاء دَلَّ عَلَى الْمَدْحِ. And that is that all of his names, all of them lead and indicate total praise for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why we say in Surah Fatiha, what do we say? Alhamdulillah. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all his names are beautiful. All his names are beautiful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا إِسْمٌ لَا يَدُلْ عَلَى مَدْحٍ وَالْحَمْدٍ. That there isn't for him a name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that it proves and it indicates complete praise for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It proves and it indicates complete praise for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, وَمِنْ حُسْنِهَا, and from its beauty, أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ أَعْلَامًا مَحْضَهُ. And from its beauty is that it's just not a title. From its beauty is that it's not just a title. What do I mean by it's not just a title? It's not just a title, but rather his attributes as well. So for example, somebody could be called Ahmed or Muhammad. A man could be called Muhammad, other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is he praised? He could be a fasiq. He could be a sinner, and his name is Muhammad. His name is Muhammad al-Kandahlawi, head of Tablighi Jama'ah Mubtadi, Dal. His name is Muhammad, but he's not praised. He's refuted. He just has the what? Title. He just has the what? Title. But the meaning does not apply to him. The meaning does not apply to him. So he's just got the title. His name's just Muhammad. But as for that which Muhammad means, it doesn't apply to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is every name that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is it a title, which is the second principle we're going to do next week. Not only is it a title, but also the attributes and the meaning of it applies to him. It's reality. The meaning of it applies to him. The meaning of it applies to him. So that's number three. وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ أَسْمَى وَأَوْصَافٌ. Verily, it's names and attributes. So when his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Ar-Rahman, like Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned the example here. Not only is his name, his title is Ar-Rahman. He is Ar-Rahman. He is the most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only is that the case, but the attribute of Rahmah fully, completely applies to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The abundance of Rahmah applies to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a title. It's not just a title as it would be for the creation. As it would be for who? The creation. وَمِنْ حُسْنِهَا أَنْهَا دَالَّ عَلَى صِفَاتِ الْكَامِلَةِ. And from the beauty of his names, that it indicates perfect attributes. Following up from what we mentioned. From the beauty of his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that it indicates and it proves his perfect and complete attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَا لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ صِفَةٍ أَكْمَلَهَا. And in every attribute, and this is the meaning of husna, ikhwan, in every attribute that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the most complete. So in every name that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every name that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in it is he has a complete attribute. Of course. Husna necessitates everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped alone. He's rububiyya. He's uluhiyya. Lahu mulk. He's the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this indicates this, no doubt. And it's a proof for this. So, وَمِنْ حُسْنِ أَنَّهَا دَالَّ عَلَى صِفَةِ كَامِلَةٍ وَأَنَّ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ صِفَةٍ أَكْمَلَةٍ. So every attribute that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is perfect. وَمِنْ حُسْنِهَا أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ الْعِبَادَ أَنْ يَدُوهُ بِهَا. And from the beauty of his name, is that he has commanded the slaves and the worshippers to call him with these names. And he'd only command the worshippers to do this because of the husn of his name, the beauty of his names and the perfect names that he has, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this it shows the beauty of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meaning of al-husna. وَمِنْهَا وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ مَنْ يَحْفَظَهَا. And he loves the ones that memorize it. And he loves the ones that act upon it. And he loves the ones that implement his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the proof, and from the proofs of his husn, the husn of his names, and the beauty of his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point that we're going to mention, we'll take this from Ibn Uthaymeen. The third point we're going to mention is very important. We'll take it from Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his explanation of this, his own work. You can write this as a title. May Allah preserve you all. You can write it as a title is, and you can say, the terms or words that are perfect and words that are deficient. Issues related to words that are perfect and words that have deficiency. Has naqs and kamal. It has deficiency and it has perfection. So this is the topic. This is the heading that you can put here. And this is an important principle that Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, has taken from the works of Ibn Taymiyyah. He's taken from the works of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says that, وَلِهَذَا نَقُولُ إِنَّ الْأَلْفَاظِ إِمَّا تَدُلُّ عَلَى مَعْنَى نَاقِسًا نَقْسًا مُطْلَقًا. He says, as for words and terminologies or what have you, he says, either it indicates a meaning that is deficient, totally deficient. It indicates a meaning that is totally indeficient. Who can give me that? Sleep. Sleep or being drowsy. And this is not allowed to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not allowed to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the naqs mutlaqa. Naqs what? Mutlaq. Absolute deficiency. Absolute deficiency. Because the fact that we sleep is the sign of our weakness. The fact that we need sleep is the sign of our weakness. And Allah is free from this. So is it impermissible for these terms that are in this category that you attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he said, وَإِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ دَالَّ عَلَى كَمَالٍ فِي حَالٍ وَنَقْسٍ فِي حَالٍ. The second is a term or a word or a name that can be perfect in one aspect, but can be deficient in another aspect. Can be perfect in one aspect, but be deficient in another aspect. We mentioned this last week. Al-Kaid, like that. Okay, Al-Kaid, okay, and the third, or plotting, and then he mentioned, وَإِمَّا تَكُونَ دَلَّ عَلَى كَمَالِ وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ غَايَةَ الْكَمَالِ. وَإِمَّا تَكُونَ دَلَّ عَلَى الْكَمَالِ وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ غَايَةَ الْكَمَالِ. And he said that the third is that it can indicate or prove something perfect or perfection in one aspect, but it's not absolute perfection. And this one example I'm going to mention can fall into this one in the category before, and that is the mutakallim. That is what? Al mutakallim. So a man that speaks, for example, a man that speaks is more perfect than the man that what? That what? Doesn't speak. So speaking is not something that's what? Absolutely perfect. Because there are people who can speak and there are people who can't speak. So therefore, it is impermissible for us to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mutakallim. Why? Because it has some perfection in it. Sahihullah. There is some perfection in it, but it's not absolute. But it's not absolute. In that there are people who cannot speak. And also, it's not absolute. Because there are people who speak the haqq and there are people who speak batil. There are people who speak the truth, and there are people who speak falsehood. So speaking is not perfect. Absolutely. So therefore, we cannot attribute it and say Allah's name is Al-Mutakallim, but we can say that He speaks. We can say that He speaks,
according to His Majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't say He's Al-Mutakallim because of the obscurity in that name. It's that it's perfect, but not absolutely. The second one, that it can be understood as being perfect and it can be understood as being deficient, like plotting. Number four. What do you think number four is, Akhwan? Huh? Perfect in totality. Perfect in totality. And that is Al-Husna, Asma'ullah Al-Husna. And those are the complete and beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has no deficiency whatsoever. These are the four principles that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or categories that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions as it relates to those terms that can be used for Allah and that can't be used for Allah. Are we clear on those terms? Can I have it, please? The first one is what? Number one. It shows or indicates total deficiency. A term or a word that shows total deficiency, and we are allowed or not allowed to call Allah this name? It's not allowed, it's kufr. Okay, the second one, Muhammad?
Perfect in one aspect and in another deficient, for example,
the perfect in one aspect and deficient in another aspect. And in this one here, number two, just to further clarify, okay, you don't say that Allah humiliates. You don't say that Allah humiliates those who humiliate the deen. Allah humiliates, you have to make it muqayyad. You have to make it specific. You don't say Allah humiliates. It's a reaction as intiqam, as a just reaction to their oppression. A just reaction to their oppression. But you don't call him that. It's from his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. They deserve it. It's from his justice. It's from his hikmah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, but you don't, because of its obscurity, say he's Al-Makir, Al-Ka'id. You don't say that. Why? Because of the obscurity. Because it can be, some people can plot and humiliate out of oppression. Sahiola. Yes or no? So because of that room, that there are some negativity in it, we have to negate it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only say that he does it from his actions, that he does it when it's specific for the reaction of justice to oppressors or those who humiliate and those who plot against Allah and His Messenger. That Allah will give them what they deserve. That Allah will give them what they deserve. Naam, what's the next one? Naam, indicates perfection in one aspect, but in totality is not perfect. It's not perfect, absolutely. Okay, are you speaking? Can somebody give me another example of this? Huh? Al-fa'il, the doer. Remember last week? The doer. Because you can do good and you can do bad. Yeah? But somebody who is a vegetable, you know, people vegetated. And somebody who can do things. May Allah protect us and our families from such things. Somebody who is vegetated, he can't move. He can't do anything. And somebody who can do something. Who's more perfect? Huh? The one can do it. But even the one that can do it can do good and can do bad. So therefore, it's not totally perfect. Another one is murid. Yes? Murid. The want. Yes? Is our wanting the same as an animal's wanting? Is our irada the same as an animal's? Is the irada of an animal like a tree? So even amongst the tree and the animal, it's not perfect. So because of his lack of perfection, then that cannot be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next one. Next one. Somebody else from the apart from the Mashaykh, some other Shaykh, Naam. Father Shaykh, Naam. Perfection, absolute, indefinite, not limited. Total perfection, as perfection can go, it goes. Ghaya, yani indefinite, not limited. And that is Allah's perfect names. Inshallah, I think we'll leave it as that. I've taken a bit of time, 15 minutes. And then, you want some more? Basically, then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions examples. He mentions examples of Allah's name, Al-Alim. He mentions example of Allah's name, Al-Alim, which is the all-knowing. Which is the all-knowing. And he brings verses in the Quran, إِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. And that is that the knowledge of it is with my Lord. The example of Allah's encompassing knowledge. The knowledge of it is with my Lord in a kitab, in a book. And he does not forget and he is not ignorant. He does not forget and he's not ignorant. Yani he has total ilm. And that's why the sifa of Al-Alim, the all-knowing, can be attributed, or the name of Al-Alim can be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's all-encompassing. Because it's all-encompassing. And as for the muqtada, as for the prerequisites or those things that are linked to this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alim, Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says the following. We just touch upon this and then we'll close. Just one example. Even he mentions Rahmah. We've mentioned Rahmah earlier on. And he mentions Al-Hay. And that in itself is self-explanatory. And then the issue of ilm is something that we can maybe reflect upon. And he said that, أَنَّكَ إِذَا أَمَنْتَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُرْضِعُكَ إِيمَانَكَ هَذَا عَنْ فِعْلِ مَا يَكْرَهُ اللَّهُ. He said, rahmatullahi alayhi, that because you have the iman, that Allah has all-encompassing knowledge. Because you have the iman and the belief in the name of Allah al-Alim, that which it necessitates from you who claim to have the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, is that you know that he knows everything. That he knows everything, so therefore, with your knowledge and your iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, that should repel you and push you away from doing that which he dislikes. That should push you away from doing that which he dislikes. And then he mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions a statement of Ibn Qayyim, which I'll summarize, where he says that even though that only Allah would know. Only Allah would know, for example, an individual who goes in a shed, dark at night, winter, goes in a shed, in a bed, and under the bed, and under a cover under the bed, and another cover under the bed, and twofold, and then he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah knows. But Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that what shaitan does is that shaitan would do waswasa and whisper to the other creation, mankind, and bring suspicion about that individual, even though that individual doesn't know he done it, but he will breed suspicion. He will breathe suspicion. And then one of the ill effects of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah protect us, is that this sinner is always worried that everyone knows what he's doing. So he's punished in that regard, in that he sees people and he's thinking that person knows what I'm doing in secret. Because shaitan whispers. And shaitan causes dhunun and suspicion. Which is why Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he brings a poet, a line of poetry which is quite beautiful. He goes, إِذَا سَاءَ فِعْلُ الْمَرْءِ سَاءَتْ ذُنُونُهُ وَصِدْقُ مَا قَالُهُ مِنْ مَنْ تَوَهَمِ. He said that if, in the poetry, line of poetry, that if an individual, he does an evil deed, bad suspicion will follow him. Bad suspicion will follow him, and it's actually true what these people who are mistakenly have suspicion of. They're suspicious of him without proof. But it's true what he's doing. So in their right, their suspicion is incorrect. But in reality, their suspicion is what? Huh? It's true. Because of the wasawis of shaitan. Because of the whispers of shaitan. And this, if this isn't enough, it should be enough. It should be enough that Al-Alim is aware of your actions. But if that's not enough for you, know that the creation will have suspicion over you. And you will not be relaxed, uncomfortable, because you'll be having that thought that they know what you've been doing in secret, and so forth. So Ibn Qayyim mentioned this as one of the ill effects of sinning. As one of the ill effects of sinning. And the final thing that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions from his statement, Naam, he says that some names, I mention it generally, because of the baby crying and so forth. He mentions it generally. I'll mention it generally. He said that some names, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's mentioned on its own, is perfect. When it's mentioned on its own, is what? Perfect. But when it's mentioned along with other name, another name, it adds to another type of perfection. So for example, Al-Aziz, the Almighty, the Aziz, the Almighty, okay? It has with it the perfection of might. It has the perfection of what? Might. And Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, has the perfection of what? Wisdom. When Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, as Allah mentions in many places in the Quran, the Almighty and the All-Wise, it adds to another perfection. It adds to another perfection, a different type of perfection. I'm going to give you an example. For example, so Al-Aziz on its own is a perfect in might. So, perfection. And Al-Hakim is perfect in what? Perfect in wisdom. But when Allah says in the Quran, you've read it, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. When Allah says in the Quran, the Almighty and the All-Wise, it means that He is mighty, He has all might with wisdom. So that adds to another perfection. With wisdom. In that He has might and He doesn't oppress. And He's just. And judgment. His judgment is just and He's just subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for Al-Hakim, on its own, it means the All-Wise. But when it adds to what? Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, it means All-Wise with what? Might. All-Wise with what? Might. With Him is the Izzah, with Him is the honor. With His might, with His judgment, and with His what? Wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in summary, when the names are mentioned on its own, it has its own indefinite perfection. And when it's mentioned with another name, another additional indefinite perfection arises from the meaning. Now, yes. And there's books that have been authored in that regard. I can't remember the names. Inshallah, next week, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. Yes. Ar-Rahman Rahim. Naam. Ahsant. Rahman Rahim. And there's a couple of works that, inshallah, we'll try and bring some of those benefit next time, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. So that's the end of the principle, that general principle that all Allah's names are beautiful and His beauty is indefinite. His beauty is indefinite, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi asma'il husna, by His perfect names, wa sifati al-ulya, and His lofty attributes, that He gives us tawfiq to be from those who obey Him and worship Him, and those who gain the muhabba and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by staying away from those things that He has prohibited. Wa ma khalaqtul jinn wal ins illa liya'budun. He has not created the jinn and the mankind except for ibadah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين